This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The CNN Univision Democratic presidential debate with the two leading candidates, former Vice President Joe Biden and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Welcome. It's good to have you.
What?
Huh?
So?
What?
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 So, well, did you?
What?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What do you say to the American people who are confronting this new reality?
First of all, my heart goes out to those who have already lost someone.
To address the economic crisis as a result of Ebola, keep talking about Ebola. You got Ebola in my head here right now.
We've been through this before with dealing with the viruses that the N1H15, as well as what happened in Africa, because their islands are sinking.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way, like an improv conversation. Improvisation.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We now have a situation where Trump's own people are actually in greater danger, but those of us who live in this earth can't even reach them.
Not the earth. Another earth.
Guess what? Coronavirus! Coronavirus!
Unchained and unstoppable.
More people are dead and dying in America tonight. Because Donald Trump is president.
This is so dramatic. Maybe the president's trying to pressure Google to get it done faster, but there's no indication that game is working.
As you know, this is from Google. They put out a release, and you guys can figure it out yourselves and how that got out, and I'm sure you'll apologize, but it would be great if we could really give the news correctly. It would be so, so wonderful.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4842. As Bernie Sanders put it so well, we're in an Ebola crisis. Or, as the vice president said, we've been through coronavirus before. I mean, N1H1. And then he also said SARS. He's been through SARS. They were in the Situation Room. I wonder if they were tippling in the Situation Room, and that's why he can't remember the name of it. He kept talking about the Situation Room. It made a great impression on him. You know, like, you know, sometimes you go to a nice restaurant or a bar, and you know you remember it for a long time. That's the Situation Room for Joe Biden. We'll play that cut later on when he keeps talking about the Situation Room. But just for right now, though. Joe committed the ultimate PC faux pas last night. He said the A word before he corrected himself. Cut two.
There are certain things you cannot deport an undocumented alien for, an undocumented person for.
How dare you cite the federal criminal code?
How dare you?
What a racist, horrible thing to say. Call an alien an alien.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
844-500-4242. Time now for the Chump Line.
Hey, Howie, did you see the Democrat debate? If you didn't, all you missed was an empty suit, an empty skull, and an empty studio.
It was pretty dreadful, I must say. There was not a lot to watch. I generally go back and forth between the news channels and sports, so now my only option is news channels. So that didn't leave me much, and I had just watched all the Boston Blackie movies I cared to watch. So I watched it for an hour, and then I finally just checked out. Went back to my dime novel that I bought online.
Bernie Sanders says his head is full of Ebola. I'm surprised there's any room left with all those rocks.
Yeah, play that cut. Cut nine.
So the lesson to be learned is we have got to move aggressively right now to address the economic crisis as a result of Ebola. Keep talking about Ebola. You got Ebola in my head here right now. As a result of the virus here, the coronavirus.
Yeah. All right. Let's play Biden's live stream, too. We've been meaning to play this, Taylor. Cut number 10. This is from Friday night. He's doing a live stream. It didn't work out. It lasted about 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, if the technical difficulties couldn't be an explanation for this, I take it as an apology for his gaffes.
Well, I'm sorry this has been such a disjointed effort here because of the connections, but there's a lot more to say, but I've already probably said too much to you.
The disjointed connections. He's got a ball in his head, too, only in his case it's the N1H1 coronavirus SARS virus, Ebola. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, whose wicked awesome windows and doors are only available through better lumber yards and window professionals.
Hey, Howie, how long till we finally get curbside senility testing?
Can Google do that for us next after they finish setting up the other tests that Brian Stelter says aren't being set up?
So far in Massachusetts, Ted Kennedy's Delmont has a higher mortality rate than coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The Brazilian illegal alien who killed four members of that family from Whitman. He's killed four, and coronavirus has killed zero Massachusetts residents. If you want to include the state of Florida, where the Massachusetts residents were killed by the illegal alien in a car, it's tied. Coronavirus 4, illegal alien Brazilian 4.
When Biden was asked about H1N1, he replied, bingo.
Very good. I like that. You know, that's the old timers at the rest home. They like their bingo.
Lovey, I don't understand the hoarding of toilet paper. Don't the hoi polloi have gold-plated bidets like us?
I never understood the attraction of bidets, spelled B-I-D-E-T. But the guy I work with down here who helps me out, me and Grace when she's down here, he works at Publix sometimes. There was a near fist fight. He works in the produce, which is a little safer, but over in the dry goods department, there was almost two guys almost came to blows over toilet paper. It is insane. It's just crazy.
There's a video on Twitter, Howie, of the New Hampshire state police. I think their bagpipe corps or something like that. Their trip to Ireland got canceled, so they just went to their local Walmart instead and played Amazing Grace at the empty shelves of the toilet paper.
Go ahead.
My corona. My corona.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that one. They say all the millennials are posing on social media holding up bottles of Corona beer, but I hadn't even thought about that. My Sharona, get it? My Sharona, my Corona.
This is really the left's dream come true. Tank the economy and blame it on the Corona flu. Now they'll be able to create the fable that it's all Trump's fault. He didn't have a clue.
That's all. That sums it up right in one simple limerick from Limerick Guy in the 413 area code.
Howie, would it be a microaggression if I call it the Communist China Meat Market Virus?
Chris Plant on his morning radio show today said he was talking to somebody at the supermarket down in D.C. on Friday, and the guy said, why can't we call this the election year flu? The election year virus. That's what it is, I think. You know, again, it's real. But the way it's being treated differently than the way swine flu was being treated is just very instructive, I think. And certainly the way the presidents are being treated differently, even though the previous president, Obama, had 12,000 Americans dead, there are, what, 60 dead here so far? 60 dead as opposed to 12,000. And nobody blamed Obama. No panic, no restaurants shut down, no sports seasons canceled, no schools closed, no churches padlocked, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. Wow, this coronavirus panic is so bad that it's hard to find toilet paper. Perhaps that's why sales of my paperback are doing so well. Oh, well. We're going to be fine.
I think his paperback has been trashed and turned into other books that were probably brought back in trash. Maybe his books, Deval Patrick's books, were turned into Mayor Pugh's books. What is it, Healthy Holly or Holly Holy? She's going to prison. Is she asking for a continuation of when she has to report for prison? She asked for one a couple of weeks ago. Now she's probably asking for another one. I never understood that. If I were going to prison to serve 2 or 3 years, I'd want to get it over with immediately. I'd report tomorrow morning.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
603 points out that unlicensed Ukrainian drivers and high and drunk caused more deaths than the coronavirus. That's true. They're ahead of Florida and Massachusetts and New Hampshire combined. How many, anybody dead in New Hampshire? That Ukrainian, that legal alien who didn't have a license, he killed 7 Americans last, if you include the Ukrainian and the illegal Brazilian, that's 11 Americans dead. That's what, almost one fifth of the whole coronavirus total by 2 people who didn't even belong in this country. 844-500-4242. That is the toll free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon, if you would just call, press 2 for the chump line, leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, whose wicked awesome windows and doors are only available through better lumber yards and window professionals.
When Biden was asked about H1N1, he replied, bingo.
I like that one. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
It was a huge weekend for gun sales and ammo sales, all the social unrest and the general pandemonium around this coronavirus, so-called pandemic. And we thought it would be a good time to have another cheap bastard deal here.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr. The cheapest bastard around.
I love my firearms. I love my FID. I love being a licensed gun owner, especially at times like this. And I got my guns at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, and they're friends of the show, and they're advertisers. And they've had some great cheap bastard deals for over the years, and they've got another one here today. Toby's with us. Toby, what have you got for us today at the Howie Carr Show, the HowieCarrShow.com store? What do you got?
All right, Howie. Good to hear from you again, and hope you're enjoying the sunshine and staying safe in all this craziness. But Today we have a wonderful Cheap Bastard deal, not to be outdone from last time. We have our full annual plus membership, which we did last time, and that is a $500 a year special, normal price, and it's a $175 initiation fee the first time. So that's a $675 value, and today it can be yours for the cheapest bastard around for $250. So it's a really good deal, and we got a few of these, and they always pick. So.
And what do they? What does this include? Now, a lot of people are looking to buy ammo right now. Even if they've got their permits, they are in their firearms. They want to get ammo. They get a deal on ammo if they become members, right?
They do. They get 5% off anything in the store. I mean, guns, ammo, holsters, scopes, sights, you know, red dots, anything we sell in the store, you get 5% off every day. So that's a big benefit to being a member. Then you get 10% off any classes we offer, and we have a ton of different classes on the schedule these days. And as far as ammo is concerned, it is going like hotcakes. I mean, it's selling like crazy right now, and we are trying to cater to our members first, which is nice, another perk for being a member. But you know what? There's a lot of people worried that they're not going to be able to get it for a while, and we have pretty good prices on ammo. We haven't gouged anybody. I know, across the country you hear stories of people getting gouged right now, and we're not doing that. We're just passing it along like we normally do, and sales are brisk, as they say.
What are your vendors telling you? Are you going to be able to get more? You going to be able to get more, or could there be interruptions?
We hope so. There's definitely going to be some supply chain issues as we go. There's no question about it. And it's already happened a little bit, but we are still getting shipments. Our vendors are being good to us. We buy a lot off them every year, and so they're really catering to us and keeping the shipments coming, which is nice. And so today we just got a couple pallets of Winchester ammo, and but like I said, it's going quick. We're not putting huge breaks on people. We're letting them buy up to a case of ammo. We're not limiting them to two boxes or anything like that. We're trying to let people, get enough to keep them for a while.
So this is a $500 membership and then you usually have to pay the $175 initiation fee. So it's a $675 deal for just $250. And the benefits include access to the state-of-the-art gun ranges, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 on Sundays. No copay when you use the range. You get to bring in a guest anytime for free. 5% discount on anything in the store, including guns and ammo. 10% off all the classes. 30%, 100% satisfaction guarantee for every firearm you purchase. And it gives you also full access to the indoor archery range and a Cape Gunworks T-shirt. That's a pretty good deal all around.
It's a great deal, and they won't last long. So hopefully, some people will get on board and take advantage of this special. And I have people come in the store saying, "When are you going to do a cheap bastard deal with Howie again?" And I'm like, "Oh, here it is.
Here it is, folks. We don't have too many." Get on board now. Go to HowieCarsShow.com and click on store. They go fast. Cape Gunworks, it's in Hyannis. It's a great, great place to shoot and to buy guns and ammo and all of your other needs. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the all-new 2020 Subaru Outback, featuring symmetrical all-wheel drive. Go where love takes you. Taylor, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will the White House impose a national curfew by the end of the week?
I think not. I hope not.
70% say they don't think so either.
All right. 844-500-4242. Joining us now on the line is Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager for then-candidate Donald Trump back in 2016, and now he's an advisor to the vice president and to the president. Corey, what's the what can you give us in terms of the latest on this coronavirus situation?
Well, Well, Howie, thanks for having me. You know, the president today announced that he is going to increase the Center for Disease Control recommendations, which were to not gather with more than 50 people. The president has now made the recommendation of gatherings no more than 10 people for a period of time to be determined. And obviously, it's a precautionary measure. And those individuals who are healthy and show no signs of any disease or any fatigue have no reason to be at emergency medical facilities. But those people who have some type of immune deficiency or have recently undergone some type of surgery or are older in years want to be very careful about this. And so social distancing is now the term that we're using to keep people away from others. We saw it last night on the debate stage. 6 feet is the recommended distance that the government is recommending for people to stay away from others. And really, it's about hygiene, washing your hands, hand sanitizer, and not putting yourself in places where you have the potential to pass on a type of virus, even if you don't know that you currently have it.
Have you been speaking to the president, Corey, about this?
You know, Howie, I have the privilege to speak to the president a lot. I was with him last week, had dinner with him, and then I've had the chance to speak to him on the phone over the last week or so about it, sure.
He seems like he's a little, yesterday especially, he seemed like he was a little irritated with the way the press was handling this thing, accusing him of lying about Google, you know, and he left without taking any questions. And I don't blame him a bit. And then today they're asking him again about this test. I mean, they gave Obama a total pass on swine flu, and he didn't act until 1,000 Americans were dead. And then he went out to play a round of golf, and the New York Times said that he was doing a good job in being a responsible leader and not causing panic in the public at large. I mean, talk about a double standard here, Corey.
Well, Howie, you have to remember when anybody points out the same factual accuracies of where this pandemic originated, which we know is in China, you are now strictly xenophobic in the words of CNN, except their own reporters use the exact same language. And I think this is what makes people very upset with the mainstream media. They
yes.
have always been two separate standards, one for the Trump people like myself and others, and one for the beautiful people, Howie, the Obamas of the world, the Bidens of the world. You know, Biden went out last night and completely confused coronavirus with other pandemics that have transpired, and not one person questioned him on it. Jake Tapper from Dartmouth didn't call him to the carpet on it, right? Jake Tapper, the famed Dartmouth mythology and CNN, did not even question him on it. But if that was Corey Lewandowski or President Trump, you know for sure he would have been chastising us and telling us how wrong we were. And that's what the American people are tired of, Howie. They're tired of the double standard that the mainstream media has had against this president, and they see it firsthand. And I think the president's also frustrated with it because what he said, I believe it was yesterday, was the healthcare system that he inherited from the Obama administration was not set for a pandemic like this. Azar has said that. Fauci has said that. Everybody has said the same thing. So they have to rebuild our healthcare apparatus from the ground up, going to the private sector, in order to combat this terrible pandemic that we're facing. But they get no credit for that. It's all just doom and gloom all the time.
I have here a story from Front Page Magazine about what the CDC has been spending money on in recent years, you know, with the congressional approval, and this goes back to Obama years. They spent $106 million on a visitor center with Japanese gardens, a $200,000 gym, a transgender beauty pageant. They promoted bike paths. They pushed gun control, $25 million to the CDC to study gun violence. They announced a plan to end syphilis in 5 years. Guess what? Syphilis is at record levels today after the CDC's plan. I mean, this is what they've been spending money on these social programs. They've been using it as another slush fund for liberal nonprofits.
Well, Howie, of course they have, and they never would have been called to the carpet if something like this didn't happen. And I'm sure those Japanese gardens they have there are very beautiful. Of course, I don't know what anyone gives a shit. I mean, cares, you can't say that, I'm sorry, cares about whether they look like. But Howie, here's the point. People are so tired of a broken government, right? People are so tired of politics as usual. And when Donald Trump went to Washington, D.C. to kick the door down and change the way things operate, People chastised him for it. They complained about it. But today we're better off because of it, because we have seen our taxpaying dollars be wasted for 30 years in Washington, D.C. with no results. And that's the result of where we are today. We are in a hole because of the problems that we've inherited over the years, and nobody wants to admit that.
Corey, we have to break early because we got someone from the White House coming on shortly. But I appreciate you being with us, and we'll talk to you soon, and stay safe. Thank you. Thank you, Corey. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ann in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zucco from Hanson, Mass. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
Joining us now on the line is Seema Verma, and she is an administrator for the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and she is a member of the President's Task Force on Coronavirus. If you saw the press conference live today during the first hour of this show, about 2 hours ago, she was standing right behind the president. So she's right in the midst of this. Seema Verma, what is the lead today on coronavirus that the listeners and the viewers need to know? Thanks for being with us, first of all.
Oh, great to be here today. Thanks, Howie. I think the big thing that came out today were the recommendations for every single American. And it was very clear, they said, for the next 15 days, we want folks to do this. And I think one big takeaway was, you know, just limiting gatherings to about 10 people. A lot of the information about hand washing, those types of things I think we've seen before. Today's recommendations were also around restaurants. You know, some recommendations there about, you know, limiting restaurants. You're going to see some closures in some areas as well. And encouraging people, you know, if you need to get food from a restaurant, try takeout instead. So those were some of the newer recommendations that we had today.
What is the difference between this and swine flu 10 years ago? I mean, people are going back, and there were a lot more Americans were killed by swine flu than have been killed by coronavirus. And there was none of this, dare I say it, hysteria at the time. What's the difference between swine flu in 2009 and coronavirus in 2020?
I think the impact on vulnerable populations is more significant. So individuals that have underlying health care conditions, the mortality rate is more significant in this population. And it seems like in terms of the infection rate, the number of people that are catching the coronavirus, that also is different as well.
What's going to be done for, I mean, I'll look at all the people who work in the hospitality industry. A lot of them are not going to get a paycheck, not going to get any tips. Even if there's takeout, they're not going to make the same kind of money at the very least if they're not totally laid off. What are their options as we go forward?
Well, that's why you've heard the president talk about the economic package. That's what the House passed just recently, and the Senate is also working on a bill to address people that are impacted by the virus. So whereas you have a public health strategy, you also have an economic strategy. We know that people, whether they're infected or not, it's having an impact on their lives, you know, for small businesses, for workers at businesses, people that have to stay home to take care of their kids because their schools are closed. All of those pieces are going to have an economic impact on Americans, and that's what the package that Congress is working on. So we're talking about paid sick leave. You're talking about loans for small businesses and a whole other series of, items that are going to help people that are impacted by this financially.
What should people do when they go to the supermarket and they see that whatever they need, whether it's, you know, obviously the one everybody's talking about is toilet paper, but bottled water. And now there are reports of markets are starting to run out of frozen vegetables and fruits, that kind of thing. What should they do when they find whatever they need to be not in stock wherever they go to get it?
Well, last week the president met with some of the major retailers, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS. I think we're making very clear those stores are going to stay open. Some of them have limited their hours because they need to restock and they need to clean. But we're going to have grocery stores open, and we're working with manufacturers to make sure that people get the things that they need, whether it's hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and food. You know, all of those things should be available.
Now, what is it? Why don't you explain to people what happened with Google? Friday, he announced that Google was working to set up these basically, correct me if I'm wrong, testing, online testing that could be done. And then he was accused by the by some elements of the media of making it up. And they were in fact making it up. Can you give us where these Google tests stand today and what the controversy was about?
Sure. I think there was just some issues of first of all, let me make very clear, Google was not going to do tests. What we're trying to stand up is a website that will allow people to be screened to take a test and then go to a testing site. One of the things that we're trying to stand up is, you know, essentially drive-throughs where people can get a swab and then they can get their test results. So they don't have to actually get out of the car. They don't have to go into a facility. And the idea is you just drive up. What they're trying to do is set up a website so that people can go to the website and see if they meet the criteria to go to one of these testing locations. So they're over 65 and have some type of symptoms. And then number two, healthcare workers. And over time, they may change the criteria, but they're at least starting with those two. And we've been talking to Google and working with them about how we could set up this particular website.
So I think one thing you want to stress is that not everybody needs to have one of these tests, that they're not just because you see something on, you know, don't be spooked by what you're seeing on TV, in other words. And that, as you say, unless you're in one of the vulnerable groups, like being over 65, what would be another indication? What would be another group that might be susceptible here?
Well, I do think it's important that people don't panic. If you have symptoms, the first thing you should do is call your doctor's office, have a conversation with them. I think one of the things that we want people to know is sometimes you can talk to your doctor over the phone. You do sort of a telehealth visit so that avoids you having to go in. And then based on the conversation that you have with your doctor, they're going to determine whether they think it's appropriate for you to have the test. You know, we've heard some cases where, you know, folks are showing symptoms and then it turns out that they just have the flu or they had a cold. You know, I think it's around 97% of people that are being tested, maybe even higher, don't have the coronavirus. So most people may have, if they're having some respiratory illnesses, it may actually be something else. It may not be the coronavirus. So talk to your doctor first. They may want to run some other tests, or they may tell you not to have the test, but the first place that you should go to is your doctor.
You know, I had a shot for the flu early last fall. Millions of other Americans had a shot for the flu. Is it safe to say that Seema Verma, the administrator for the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services and a member of the task force, that flu continues right now to be killing more Americans than coronavirus does?
And that is true. According to the current data, that is exactly right. The good news is there was an announcement today also at the press conference where Dr. Fauci talked about their progress on developing a vaccine. And they've actually, you know, started phase one trials for this and did that in record time. So that's also, you know, good news to note today in the midst of all of this.
But yet, you know, the country seems to be shutting down. Why are we shutting down if coronavirus is less of a threat than the flu?
That's a good question. I think the difference between the flu and the coronavirus is that it can hurt more people. And so, in other words, the mortality rate is higher, 10 times as much for people with underlying health conditions like the elderly or elderly with underlying health conditions or anybody who's immunocompromised. So it's a lot more virulent, if you will, than the normal flu is.
And so How is that? Do you see the president? How does he, is he angry about the way he's, I mean, they were at, in my opinion, as a lifelong reporter, the questions he's asked at these press conferences are just are obnoxious. They're looking for gotcha moments. How is he responding to this every day going out there?
I think he's done a great job responding to the questions. I think he has a lot of confidence in the team, the way the vice president is handling the response. I mean, he's made it very clear this is a whole government approach, and he's got every entity that needs to be there engaged in this. And he's leading these efforts. I think a lot of the actions that you see, and some people may think that they're extreme, but we also heard Dr. Fauci say, you know, we want to get ahead of this. You don't want it to get out of control. If you look at the situation in Italy, that is the situation that we are trying to avoid. When you get to that point, that means your healthcare system is completely overwhelmed. They run out of supplies. They run out of beds. They run out of equipment. And so that's why the president is leading on all of these mitigation actions, because we don't want to create that type of situation. The other thing that Dr. Fauci said at the press conference, which I thought was very enlightening, is he said, you know, you're taking actions based on where you're going to be in a few weeks, not on actually what's going on right now, but what you will see in 3 or 4 weeks. So sometimes these actions may seem draconian, but they're really about getting ahead of what we might see. And that's why the president's leadership on this issue is so important and so critical, because he's been supportive of what the scientists are telling him.
How soon could we see a vaccination be available?
Well, I would leave that question to the NIH, but I think they're working very hard and fast. The fact that they already got to the phase one trials, I think, is very important. But it could take some time. It's not going to happen overnight, which, again, kind of goes back to why we're taking so much aggressive action to mitigate the spread of the virus and to make sure the healthcare system is prepared for this.
Seema Verma from the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services and a member of the task force. Thanks very much for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. I'm Howie Carr.